The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning. I have to confess I'd prefer not to preach on this gospel today, because Matthew's Jesus is talking directly to us, and he's talking about one of my most disliked things: interpersonal conflict in the Christian community. I shy away from conflict. That's just the way I'm made. It never works, of course. And the truth is that conflict with others is inevitable if we have anything more than just the most cursory interaction between us. It's particularly inevitable if we have a shared task to accomplish, because everyone is likely to have their own way of accomplishing that task. And the more passionately we care about the task, the more likely we are to hold fast to our own way of doing things. Within a Christian faith community, we share the task of living in a way that embodies the teachings of Jesus and demonstrates the presence of the risen Christ among us so boldly and so faithfully that we draw others to God's loving embrace. That's our real job, you know, to draw others in to experience God's love and forgiveness. Most often, through our actions. Too often, as Catholics, whether we settle consciously or unconsciously, we settle for only doing part, the first part of that job, that of being good disciples. And by that I mean being good learners from Scripture and church tradition, being people who make Mass and prayer important in our lives, people who do our part in community activities. In other words, the way most folks would say it, being good Catholics. I'm not saying that any of those things are bad. They're wonderful. They are magnificent. But the thing is, they are only the beginning of our task. The ultimate task we share is that which Jesus gave his disciples at the conclusion of this gospel, Matthew's gospel, the Great Commissioning, where he told us, go make disciples everywhere. Go immerse everyone in God's love. So what's that got to do with interpersonal conflict? Well, for one thing, conflict in church communities, in Christian communities, tends to come to most of us as a surprise. Because aren't we all the good people? We should never get on anybody's nerves, particularly our neighbors in the community, huh? Be honest. Has anybody in a Christian community gotten on your nerves even a little bit? Don't point to them. Don't point to them. If we allow conflict within ourselves to grow into bitterness and division within the community, we are failing to be good stewards of the gospel message to the world. When our own internal conflicts aren't dealt with in the most respectful, most merciful, and most forgiving ways, we are, in effect, publicly denying the good news of Jesus the Christ. So in today's gospel, Jesus gives us a very simple formula for dealing with each other on those rare occasions when we get on one another's nerves, dealing with each other as faithful disciples. Step one, if someone from the community offends you, take the matter up directly with that person. Keep it private. And by the way, keep your own mind open to the possibility that yours is not the only valid viewpoint on the subject at hand. Have you ever taken offense at something only to find out later that you misunderstood? I have. Deal with the conflict at the most discreet yet most direct level. If that doesn't bring reconciliation, go to step two. Get one or two wise and trustworthy members of the community involved. Ask them to hear the testimony, as the scripture says. Ask them to help bring reconciliation. And again, be prepared yourself to learn in that exchange. But still, we keep the reconciliation effort at the most direct and most discreet level, respecting everyone in the event. And only if that fails might one take step three. Scripture says, take it to the church. And today it really means take it up one level to some greater gathering of folks within the church. It doesn't mean take them to Father Chris's office. Unless you're really sure you're right. Notice that nowhere in Jesus' formula is complaining to our friends, starting a gossip trail, or simply avoiding forevermore the person you think has offended you. Nowhere are any of those strategies mentioned or encouraged. And, of course, taking all of those steps, it's still possible that one or both of the parties in a conflict will fail to reconcile. So what does Jesus say to do? The text says, treat them as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. So what does that mean to you? Cast them out? Shun them? Shame them? I don't think so. Pay attention to what Jesus did. Jesus regularly dined with tax collectors. He openly welcomed Gentiles who came along to hear him teach. He forgave. He who was evangelization, he evangelized. He offered everyone yet another, always yet another chance to experience and accept the good news of God's love for each of them. He didn't give up, and he did no evil in return for the evils done to him. As Paul said today, love does no evil. Jesus took it to the extent of forgiving those who crucified him as he hung on the cross. You and I are called to be witnesses to the world by living out as best we can that kind of love. It sounds simple, but it's very difficult. That's why Jesus tells us today to take these matters into prayer, promising to be in our midst, guiding our common decisions. Not easy, but simple. We have Jesus' promise to be with us. And we have this Eucharist to feed us in our efforts. So if anybody in the room is harboring an old resentment or festering over some perceived offense, I want to invite you, as you come forward for communion or to get a blessing, I want to invite you to drop that burden at the foot of the altar. Then go do the footwork that Jesus prescribes. With his help, you can heal from that burden. And you can help bring healing to the whole community so that we are, as a community, believable witnesses to the gospel.